Weekends on the Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Steady, are you ready? What's going on? Steady, are you ready?
Are you ready?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Cold, fresh air.
So DMX.
Feel the melody that's in the air.
Open the belly.
I'm down, take a look around. What's going down? However do you want me?
However
do you need me?
However do you want me?
However do you need me?
However
do you want me?
Smoothest open to any movie in the history of the world.
Steady, are you ready?
Are you ready?
What's going on?
Tell me what's going on.
Cold, fresh air. Feel the melody that's in the air. Oh, yeah. I'm down, take a little room.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Tyrone Johnson Show taking you from 9 to noon today. Oh, man. Rest in peace, DMX. Belly, if you have not seen Belly, you need to do me a favor during the next commercial break. You go to YouTube, you watch the open to Belly. It's the greatest visual opening in the history of cinema. Yes, indeed. DMX and Nas walking into the club. You owe it to yourself if you have not seen it to go out and do it. If you have seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Rest in peace, DMX passes away yesterday. Yes, we will talk about sports today for sure here on the Tyrone Johnson Show. 610-632-0975. Dylan is producing today on this Saturday. Warm weather today. It's supposed to stop raining pretty soon. Have a nice day today for most of the listening area here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And we start like we always start with the word of the week. And this week, the word of the week is nostalgia. And like always, it will all make sense in just a little while. Yes, the word of the week is nostalgia. Now, the Sixers did not play well last night. Joel Embiid had his worst game in months. We will obviously talk about that. There is something that's a little bit more concerning over the long haul. Right now, Joel Embiid has had one bad game again in months. He was out. He had been playing at an MVP level. Gets hurt, comes back, has a couple good games. Last night against the Pelicans was not a good game for him. He did not play well. They did not play well. They lose the game last night. But Ben Simmons also did not pick him up, and this is the concerning thing. We know that in the playoffs, they'll have to be playing on all cylinders. But against a team like the Pelicans, the Sixers should be in a position to where if Simmons or Embiid or Tobias Harris or Curry have a bad game, they should still be able to win. The issue is right now your point guard is in a real funk, and that's an issue right now. Okay, over the last 8 games, Ruben Frank had this stat. He has more turnovers than made baskets. Ben Simmons over the last 8 games has more turnovers than made baskets. He's not playing well right now. He's not playing well right now. It's a real concern. I believe Joel Embiid, the next time he plays, will bounce back, and that game will just be a forgotten thing where you just have a bad game. That happens. Curry goes scoreless. I don't believe that's going to happen often. I think he makes a couple threes the following game. That goes away. Ben Simmons' issues have lingered. So it's not that the other guys did not play well. If you want to talk about that, we absolutely will talk about that on this Saturday. The issue is that Ben Simmons' issues are not isolated anymore. He's playing hard. He's giving good defensive effort. But offensively, 8 games, more turnovers than made baskets. Forget the at the assist to turnover ratio. That's blown up. He's at like 1-to-1 right now. For every assist, he has a turnover. He's struggling offensively at a level we have not seen. This is the worst Ben Simmons we have seen. And I want to know if you have, how worried you are about it. We'll get to the poll thread. We'll talk about it. How concerned you are about how Ben Simmons is playing right now. All right? How concerned are you about how Ben Simmons is playing right now? I'm pretty concerned. Doesn't disqualify them from anything yet, but is a long-term concern because now his bad play has been a long-term problem, and we will talk more about the Ben Simmons situation. We talked about it on Sixers Outsiders last night. There is a lot going on with Ben Simmons right now that's concerning. Doesn't mean that Curry's individual bad game or Joel Embiid's individual bad game is not a talking point. Players should not play that poorly. Ben Simmons is the one who has had the extended period of bad play and thus the level of concern higher from him than the others because players play bad games. It happens. I don't know why it happens, but it just happens. Phillies. They lose to the Braves. One game, you know, it was bad last night for anybody out there that watched. Here's the thing I'm a little bit concerned about. Last 4 games from the starting pitchers, they got 3.1, 5, 4, and now 4.2 innings. Yes, 3 1/3, 5, 4 innings, 4 2/3. That's what they've gotten from their starting pitchers the last 4 games. That's concerning. That right there on its own, one thing that this team does not have, they cannot afford to use that bullpen too much, any team, because you're going from 60 games up to 162. It's going to be tough as it is. You need your starters, especially when it comes to Wheeler and Nola, who are responsible for the last two. Those guys have combined for 8 2/3 innings their last two starts. Combined, I'm saying, last start from each of them. That's a real concern. And in the case of Simmons and already the Phillies, I'm already having a feeling of nostalgia for just a little while ago when we saw the aggressive Ben Simmons getting downhill, attacking the basket, and doing things that were special, things we had never seen before from a guy that size. We have not seen that version of Ben Simmons in a very long time. He wasn't good on the road trip. The reason I isolated those last 8 games is because, again, he's now at the point where he has more turnovers than made baskets. That can't happen over 8 games from a starting point guard. That can happen. It will not help you win. It makes it impossible to win if you do that. It makes it impossible to win if you do that. All right, 610-632-0975. So obviously, Ben Simmons and the Sixers on the table. Phillies, if you're concerned about anything, was it just 1 game? Either way, however you want to play it, I'm a little concerned because, again, the pitching thing, on the table. We like to have things on the table on this Saturday as people are going to work, going to their kids' games, or just lounging on a Saturday if this is your day off. But I mentioned DMX at the top of the show. And the word nostalgia, the word of the week. DMX's music, if you're of a certain age, and I understand that some people will either be too old or too young to understand this particular portion of this conversation. But DMX was an artist who, if you were a certain age, it takes you back to a certain time. For me, it takes me back to high school. For others, it'll take them back to different times. When you discover this force of nature who's just different than anything we had heard before that moment. We're not going to get into each individual song or anything like that. The point was he became a cultural icon in a way. Let's not forget that he's on 75 different movie soundtracks. 75 different movie soundtracks. If you watch modern cinema, you're familiar most likely with the DMX song. He's in movies like Belly, like we mentioned right at the top, which again, during the commercial break, and we want you to have the commercials on, obviously. We love the advertisers. But also, when you get a chance, go on YouTube. Watch. If you have not seen the movie Belly, watch the Belly open. It is the cinematic, the best open to a movie in the history of the world as he walks into the club with Nas. Romeo Must Die, Exit Wounds, Cradle to the Grave. It was a while there where you have DMX on the movie, on the soundtrack, on a sitcom, you name it. And I think it brings a certain level of nostalgia when an artist passes away. And I understand that not every single one of you listening out there is a DMX fan. So in addition to the sports stuff that we talk about, we like to talk about a lot of things. And he's an artist that meant a lot to me, and his catalog holds up very well to me. But I want to hear from you guys. In addition to DMX, anything you might want to say about DMX, there has to be a musical artist. I don't believe there's any human out there who doesn't like music. You may not like the same music as me. I may not like the same music as you. But I think one of the things that brings us all together on a day like today is the fact that pretty much it's human nature. It's in our DNA to enjoy music. And everybody has a certain amount of get off my lawn when it comes to music. Everybody, even young people, if you're out there right now and you're in your teens and young 20s, you're probably frustrated about the old heads. Maybe you're frustrated about the old heads talking about DMX. Now, what you should do is go listen to it. It's better than what you're listening to. But the point is, everybody has a certain amount of get off my lawn when it comes to music. Oh, music today is not like this. I want to know from everybody out there today on social media, on the phone line, 610-632-0975. What is the music? Who is that artist that brings you, that gives you that sense of nostalgia and brings you back to a certain time that makes you feel good? You see, DMX's music was not positive music many times. In fact, it was supposed to be aggressive and make you think and spiritual and a lot of different, or sometimes just straight violent. That was sort of his point. But either way, it takes me back to a certain time in my life. Who is the artist for you, if it's not DMX, that takes you to a certain time where you're feeling good about yourself? Your high school time, your college time, whatever the time is when you were young and there was still some sense of innocence, who is that artist for you? I want to know about who is that artist that takes you back to a different time, makes you feel a different kind of way, because everybody with these DMX conversations, and again, I recognize that they're not everybody is a DMX fan, but everybody loves music, and everyone has that artist, or artist plural, who bring you to a certain time and make you feel good about your childhood or young adulthood or whatever time it is, when your first child was born, when you got that first job. A lot of times we can play out our lives through our own soundtrack. And that's why we're talking about nostalgia today. One of the reasons we're talking about nostalgia today. We want to look back and hark back to when Ben Simmons was playing good basketball. We'd all hark back to just a couple of days ago where we felt great about the Phillies, and now all of a sudden their starting pitching looks shaky. We want to hark back to the days when you felt good about your music. And one other thing, we're going to talk to Matt Breen at 11 a.m. today. He wrote an article about today, 50 years ago today, Veterans Stadium opened. All right. 50 years ago today, Veterans Stadium opened. Now, obviously, because it's 50 years ago, some people in the listening area right now don't remember the Vet at all. They're Citizens Bank Park and Link fans. Fine. I'm speaking to certain fans. The Vet. I didn't love the Vet, but a lot of people did. Mike Missanelli's show talked about it yesterday, and they were talking about overwhelmingly, like 80% of people, over 80% of people have positive feelings from the Vet versus negative. I have negative feelings about the Vet. But this is where I want to get to this other point about nostalgia. And we'll talk to man. He wrote a great thing about, you know, where the stadium almost was, what the configuration could have been at. There was a few locations. It could have been a dome stadium, which, by the way, for the record, if I may, going forward in baseball, every new stadium going forward, now not to my Citizens Bank Park, I love going down there, partial season ticket holder for the Phillies, love going down there, but every new ballpark going forward by rule should be a retractable dome. No one likes sitting out there when it's 99 degrees in the summertime all up around a lot of people. We like going to the stadium, but let's be honest, we love to have some coverage from the sun and a little air conditioning. It should be a major league base. And none of us enjoy rainouts. So going forward, because then you don't have to worry about any rainouts, every baseball stadium, it should be a hard rule that they're all retractable domes. By all means, this time of year, have it open. When it's nice out, when it's under 90 degrees, let's say, have it open. But then you don't have to worry about any rain delays. You're scampering up. You're trying to grab a poncho. We know we have this technology. It makes no sense anymore for these stadiums to be open air only in 2021. Going forward, let's fix that. But anyway, I started thinking about some things from childhood, like cotton candy, for example, Veterans Stadium. What we do is nostalgia makes us romanticize things that aren't that good. All right. Like I go check. I written check DMX's catalog and it held up. Some artists, you go back, Hammer. You go back and listen, doesn't hold up. Too Legit to Quit, can't touch this. They don't hold up. Those songs you go back and listen to don't hold up. Certain band songs, they were for a certain time, and they don't hold up. They just don't. Other bands, they hold up perfectly. Do we, in sports, in our lives, with certain things like Veterans Stadium, do we allow nostalgia, word of the week, to skew our view of things that weren't that good? Because when it comes down to it, if we're being honest, the Vet wasn't that nice, in my opinion. Now, I'm not trying to take away from anybody's positive experiences there, just because I had mostly negative experiences there. I will say, obviously, first Eagles game, my first Eagles game that I worked as a employee was at the Vet. I had a great Al Davis story that I told on the mic. I had an Al Davis story. I would not have an Al Davis story, period, the late Al Davis, if not for Veterans Stadium having one elevator that I was allowed to get on with Al Davis. I would never have had that story. So obviously that stuff's a big deal, but I just, there's certain things I look back, but the Spectrum, where there also wasn't a lot of winning because there wasn't enough winning in the Vet, I look back with a bunch of great nostalgia, going to the circus, going to different things at the Spectrum. So do we allow nostalgia to skew our reality? Or in hindsight, does it just hold up? The things that we think about, the things that we thought about, do those things hold up? Because the 50th year anniversary for the Vet, the majority of the people listening to the show today have Veterans Stadium memories. They might have been little kids. They might have been grown adults. They might have been season ticket holders. Whatever it is, a lot of people remember it being imploded and how big a deal it was at that time. And I just wonder about the nostalgia of the building. If that skews at all the feelings about the reality of the situation. 610-632-0975. We'll go to the phones. We got to get to the poll thread. A lot of show today. We have like 7 hours of show packed into a 3-hour bag. Dustin in Reading, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dustin?
Morning, Tyrone. How are you?
Morning, man.
So for me, I want to start with a DMX quick. I'm 23, but in high school, before our football games, we had him on our warm-up tape.
Yep.
And we would just go absolutely ballistic, just off the wall. Nothing would, you know, the hype was unmatched. So even though I might not fit like that traditional DMX, you know, demographic as far as the age goes, he was super influential for us. And then through, you know, my college career as well. And just nothing got anybody more hype than, you know, X gonna give it to you, party up, you know, the Rough Riders, all of it. It was just, it was electric.
Yeah, and that's pretty cool, Dustin. And that was the thing. He had music that was supposed to be a certain kind of way. And you mentioned that was stuff you were about to play a sport. His music was designed to be aggressive. It wasn't just to be happy-go-lucky. It was a certain lane. And you're close to 20 years younger than me, yet it hit you the same way that it hit me. And that's the part that I think was special about it.
Yeah, like that's influence, you know, when it can, like, go through different generations. That's how I think, you know, you have an artist who really made, you know, an impact when the music can still carry on. Because I know people are going to probably discover him for the first time with his passing now. And I guarantee you these younger generations who are, you know, coming up into high school or sports, you know, they might discover him for the first time and it could become, you know, almost rejuvenating.
Yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, Rough Rider Anthem right now is the number one streaming song in America, to your point.
Wow. Yeah,
right now, that's the number one streaming song in America due to his passing. What do you have on the Sixers?
And then I'm just, I wanted your opinion. I mean, how concerning is, you know, a loss like last night with stuff looming? And I see all your tweets about the, you know, wanting Doc to get to the, you know, the playoff rotation, or even though he won't, like you tweeted. But what does that playoff rotation look like for you? I mean, should we be concerned?
Should you be concerned? No, not over one loss. You could be concerned about the Ben Simmons play. Never be concerned about one single solitary loss. As far as playoff rotation, the most he's going to play at 9. Here are your only 4 candidates that you will see in the playoffs. Hill, who you haven't seen yet. Thibault, obviously. Dwight Howard, Shake Miller. Those are the only 4 that you'll see in the playoffs. Everyone else, basically, you can cut it off, and they don't even need to be dressed except for an injury. Those are the most that you'll see. The starting 5 plus Hill, Shake Milton, Thibault, Dwight Howard. Those are the only 9 players that you'll see in the playoffs. None of it matters, though, if Ben Simmons does not play better. None of it matters if he doesn't play better. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Melvin, you'll be first, followed by Vince. You can join him, 610-632-0975. Still have to get to the poll thread. Word of the week is nostalgia. Nostalgia. Now, we're talking about Sixers and Phillies, obviously. We're talking about all of the main sports things like the previous caller just did. I want to make that very clear. We're talking about that. But in addition to that, with DMX's passing, talking about this, and the Vets' 50th anniversary, we're talking about nostalgia. Nostalgia is the word of the week. Does nostalgia skew our reality? Or like DMX's catalog, for me, when you go and recheck, does it hold up? Because for me, the Vet doesn't hold up, for me personally, in a nostalgic way. But DMX does hold up. How do you feel about nostalgia when it comes to sports? 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 12 noon on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Weekends on The Fanatic. Tyrone Johnson. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Tyrone Johnson here with you for another hour. 610-632-0975. In honor of the passing of DMX and the Vet, the word of the week is nostalgia. And this is a great story with my next guest, before we get back to the phones. A great story about the Vets' 50th anniversary, which is today, and how it almost wasn't in South Philly, and how the configuration could have been different, and how basically the whole city's different if the Vet doesn't go in South Philly. On the line with me on the Comcast Business Hotline from the Philadelphia Inquirer, he covers the Phillies, Mr. Matt Breen. How are you today, Matt?
I'm good, Tyrone. How you doing today?
All right, man. I'm doing well. And the word of the week is nostalgia, partially because of the story that you wrote in the Inquirer talking about the Vet's 50th anniversary. And I don't think a lot of people, especially if you're of a certain age, and obviously you weren't around, we weren't around when the Vet opened. It wasn't automatically going to be in South Philly. And there was a few of the details that I thought were pretty fascinating in your story.
Yeah, I didn't know that until maybe like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I love like history, and especially like local history. So I was just typing in on a temple database of historical images. I was typing in like my neighborhood and Tarsdale, and just seeing what came up. If, you know, something from, if I could see what my house looked like in the 60s or something, my neighborhood.
Right.
And here it came up, these blueprints for the Philly Stadium in the 60s that was going to open up. They called it Tarsdale at the time, but now it's really Holmesburg. And I was like blown away. I never heard about it. So I went and looked up in our archives and seen that there were articles. It was front page of Daily News in 1960 about it. And just slowly, like the last 2 years, kind of just on my free time would dig into, you know, these other ideas and found out there was this big story behind it where they wanted to go to the Northeast. They wanted to go to 30th Street Station. They wanted to go to South Jersey. They wanted to go to South Philly. Then they got kicked. Then they couldn't go to South Philly. Then they wanted to build a dome in South Philly. And it reminded me of the way that when Citizens Bank Park and the Link were both built, that, you know, they were all these ideas too to, you know, build it in Chinatown or to build it on the river.
Yeah.
So what we experienced in, you know, 2000, the city also experienced in the 1960s. And like you said, I mean, if you, this stadium, you know, stadium district is in the Northeast or it's in Cherry Hill, how different is Philadelphia just because of that? It's, we kind of take for granted that they're in South Philly, but it wasn't always supposed to be that way.
No. And I've always been a person who thought, I have to be honest, I thought that on the water, home runs possibly going into the water, Barry Bonds style, Ryan Howard's obviously with the, would have been with the team at the time. I think he would have hit some in the water. That would have been cool. You cover the teams. You're down there. You've been covering the teams for a while now. Do you like that they're in South Philly, or do you wish maybe one was somewhere else?
Yeah, when you see what the renderings looked like from Citizens Bank Park, with if it was on like Broad and Callow Hill, and you could see the skyline and the old Inquirer building was in the background of the outfield, and then the renderings of what it, like you said, it looked like on the river, how cool that would have been, and how underdeveloped our waterfront really is, so how much that would have went towards it. But as great as that would have been, I guess I'm just a creature of habit, just like I'm sure everybody is, and we're just used to that's where it is. You know, my whole life I've been going down 95 South to get to a Phillies or Eagles game or a Sixers or Flyers. So it's just kind of used to it. And I don't really even think of how it could be anywhere else because for 50 years, that's all we've known.
Right. That's a very good point. Now, another thing that I found interesting was the dome factor. Now, I'm a person who believes that going forward, all baseball stadiums from here forward up till now, I'm not saying go retrofit old stadiums. There will always be new stadiums being built. It's a money. It's a way to generate income. I think all should be retractable domes. Obviously, I prefer baseball outdoors, but I don't like rain delays. I don't love 95 degree day games on a Sunday sitting next to a lot of people. I think a retractable dome should be the norm going forward. So one, you can elaborate on what the plans were for the vet as far as the dome goes, and then you can respond to the point of retractable domes going forward with baseball to remove the very hot days and rainouts.
Yeah, so the Houston Astrodome opened up in 1965, and TV was really coming on in the 60s, obviously, with, you know, the ability to watch baseball games on television, sporting events. So that kind of scared people to think that people aren't going to want to come to games. They're not going to want to sit through hot summer days or cold winter days to watch football games. So they're going to just stay home on this new TV. That's how the public is going to enjoy sports, unless we build a dome and we have air conditioning and we have heat and we can control the environment. So it wasn't just Philadelphia that responded. Mm. New York City, Shea Stadium was already open, but they put together this plan that they were going to put a glass roof over Shea in Queens for the Mets so they could have a dome. It was like everybody just, you know, was kind of paranoid that the Houston Astrodome was going to kill live sports unless you had a dome. And for Philly, it was too expensive, and it was like such a headache already to build the vet. So they kind of just said, you know, scrap it. It was voted on twice by the citizens of Philadelphia to pay for the vet. They couldn't do it again, so they just scrapped the idea of a dome. And it's kind of interesting that if the vet has a dome, odds are the Super Bowl probably comes to Philadelphia somewhere.
Yes,
along that time in the 80s or 90s with the vet having a dome. Obviously, we know that that's not the case. And I would agree with you because I think it's like a rain delay. It's kind of stupid that a professional sports team can be affected by weather. Like, it kind of shouldn't be that way. But just from watching games in Skydome in Toronto and Milwaukee with the retractable roof, it just takes away from it. Even when the roof's open, it doesn't feel like a baseball stadium because you're still kind of in like the structure is so big to host that roof. Mm-hmm. And then when it's closed, you're indoors. I remember being in Olympic Stadium in Montreal as a kid. Felt like I was watching, at a hockey game, but you're watching a baseball game. And as much as I agree with you that the weather shouldn't play a factor, but I think it takes away from the overall like experience of what a baseball stadium, a ballpark really is.
Yeah, so for you, the juice wouldn't be worth the squeeze.
Yeah, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. But you would also attract other events, wintertime events and like WrestleMania and Super Bowls and stuff like that that are now going to baseball stadiums or football stadiums that have roofs.
Yeah, WrestleMania. Yes, WrestleMania weekend now that you bring
it
up.
It is.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. So the jersey thing. Then I want to ask you about a little bit of nostalgia because I've been asking the people about it in honor of your story and DMX's passing. Cherry Hill, the one thing, every time there's a stadium, and right now, the next time it's going to be come up is definitely with the Sixers because the Sixers are basically, it's the Flyers building, and the Sixers basically lease it, and they're billionaire owners like to own things. They own multiple franchises. They own that building up in Newark. They want to own. And the threat of going to Jersey is always like looming, but it never actually happens. Could you elaborate a little bit on the possible Vet Stadium in Cherry Hill?
Yeah, it's funny that we talk about that now. And we were talking about that 10, 20 years ago when they were building the stadiums that the teams could threaten to leave for Jersey, but here they were talking about that in the 1960s. So it's, some things never change. And that's one thing is that the Phillies owner bought this big plot of land in Cherry Hill. And when word got out that he had this plot of land and that they were looking for a new stadium because they'd started looking for a new stadium in 1953, he buys this land. Everybody's up in arms thinking that Phillies are moving to Jersey. The Phillies don't really, blow out the rumors, kind of keep them going a little bit because it's great public pressure to put on the city that, hey, if you don't build us a stadium, we have this land in Jersey, and New Jersey was saying, we'll build you a stadium. We're going to move to Jersey. And I don't know how serious they were about actually doing it, but they went through the motions at least to make it look like it and to make sure that Philly knew that if we don't build the Philly the stadium, there's at least a legitimate chance that they're going to go to Cherry Hill. And I think it really helped take the Vet to the finish line was that, the city couldn't drag their feet anymore.
Right.
They had to build the Vet for the Phillies.
Yeah, and I wonder what happens because I know the Sixers at some point are going to want, when they're out of the deal, I know for a fact they're going to want their own stadium. And the question just is, does it end up being another stadium in South Philly? Does it end up in another part of Philly finally? Or are they the ones that go to Camden, like it's, or for example, that always gets threatened now? The Phillies, they lose last night. And I'm not going to make you elaborate too much on one bad game, but the last four games, 3.1, 5, 4, and 4.2 innings from the starting pitching. Any concerns about that right now, Matt?
Yeah, it's not ideal, especially when the last two games where you're 1-2.
Yeah.
But we also, you didn't want to take too much from how they were through the first turn through the rotation. I think you have to give these guys 3 to 5 starts before you can make a judgment on what a starting rotation is.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a stat that, yesterday afternoon that the Phillies had the best ERA in baseball from starting pitchers through the first week. It's like, who cares? It doesn't mean anything. Each guy made one start. So I'm kind of the same right now. I'm not going to, judge, make a big declaration on Aaron Nolan, Zach Wheeler after two not that all that great start. So be patient. Give them 3 to 5 starts. See what happens. And then, like, tonight you have Zach Eplin on the mound who looks really good in his first start and see if he looks better than Zach Wheeler looked in his second start.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And last thing, in honor of DMX's passing, we've been talking about just artists that make you feel nostalgia. Now, you're a younger guy than me. So when you think about your life, and I was talking about how everybody's life kind of has a soundtrack. You're a new father. Obviously, you grew up a sports fan. You cover your hometown baseball team, your prom, etc. What is a song or an artist that kind of makes you have that positive, nostalgic feeling?
Probably OAR, which is like they're like a jam band.
Yeah.
Along the lines of Dave
Crazy
Matthews
Game of Poker.
Yeah, that's their hit. But it's like in high school, that was like me and my buddies obsessed with OAR, going to shows, going to New York to see him. And just, we that's still our thing. Like, you know, we're still into it, but I think we're into it because it reminds us of being 17 years old or being teenagers. And that's for me. Like, I'll put that on and, you know, whenever I'm driving or whatever and listen to it, I always can text my, you know, a couple of my buddies about songs or about, you know, there's a new live version of a song. And it's just something that connects us to where we were in 2006. So,
right.
But there's a ton of stuff like that, a ton of artists, movies. Even like when DMX, when people like that pass away, you think about where you were when you first heard them. Like, I remember my friend coming over to, we were on Napster, and he's telling me about Party Up when it came, you know, right before it got big, it was coming out. And he's like, you know, he was in the know of like hip hop. You got to download this song Party Up on Napster. And we're listening to, as it's downloading, we're listening to like snippets of it.
Right.
And, stuff like that. Like, my sister was into Rough Riders Anthem because she was older. So whatever she listened to, I listened to. So.
Yeah, that's I knew that. One with his passing, it's the number one song in America again.
Yeah, it's like anytime somebody like that passes, you kind of think back to where were you when you first heard him? Or it's always sad that he died, but it always is neat to kind of go back in time and see where you were when you first discovered that person.
Absolutely. Well, Matt, I appreciate the time as usual. Great. I mean, that story, 50-year anniversary, I didn't know a lot of that history, so I really appreciate you writing that story, and enjoy the rest of your weekend, man.
Thanks a lot, Tyrone. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate that. That's Matt Breen, covers the Phillies for the Inquirer, but also wrote this great story about the 50th anniversary of Veterans Stadium. Just some facts that I just wasn't aware of, and then obviously the nostalgia thing, because he's a human. OAR was his band. Everybody has the soundtrack of their lives. And then the DMX, he's mentioning the Napster. If you're a certain age, you remember when Napster happened and getting a song and stuff like that. But yeah, right now with the passing of DMX, Rough Rider Anthem, the number one song in America once again, 20 years after it comes out. It's just crazy. 610-632-0975. Let's get back to the phones. Word of the week, nostalgia. Obviously talking sports, talking about nostalgia, the soundtracks of our lives and the buildings and the moments of our lives and what was happening. Aaron in Norristown, you're on 97.5 FNAF. What's up, Aaron?
Hi, how you doing today, bro?
How you doing, man?
Good, good, good. So I'm going to talk about, you know, a lot of times nostalgia is always like blown up and it's like, seems like it wasn't as good as we talk about. But I'll tell you, man, the nostalgia when I was growing up from age like 10 to 25 in the spectrum from 73 to 87, what I was able to be blessed to witness, 10 championships between the Flyers and the Sixers, not that they won them, but championship, all the, you know, yeah, playoff
finals
games,
appearances, every, yeah.
Finals appearances. I mean, you had one out of every three finals appearance for 10 years in that building. You know, I remember, like, the first concert I ever went to, my father took me to see Chicago, and actually the warm-up band was Bruce Springsteen, who got booed off the stage in 1973. Oh, yeah, he got booed off the stage. We weren't there to hear no Bruce Springsteen. We were there to hear Chicago. And there it is.
They're a great band, though.
They were, with the Tower Power Horn song, they were ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was ridiculous. So, I mean, you talk about, like, you know, not only the championships, you had the Indiana team, which went undefeated, how rare that is in NCAA basketball.
And was that the Spectrum?
Yep, at the Spectrum, you had three or four All-Star games. In 1976, we hosted both All-Star games. Wow. You had the Flyers beating the Russians. You know, I got to watch Dr. J, Bobby Clark, Moses Malone, Mo Cheeks, you know, like Bernie Perrin. I mean, this was not like just nostalgia. This was real, man. This was like every spring, the weather would be like this, and we'd be rolling into one night playoff game, next night playoff game, next night playoff game. Oh, the Phillies are playing. Oh, they're going to the World, and they were winning 100 games a year. You know, it was the time of my life, brother, and that's, you know, that's really, and you talk about time of your life. In 1974, the Flyers held a parade. 2 million people went. Think about the population percentage of, like, what that would extrapolate to now. That'd be like 6 million people showing up to the Eagles, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just telling you, it was a great time, and I hope, that's what I want. I want the Flyers, I want to go to playoff game on Tuesday night, Flyers, playoff game on Sixers Thursday night. I want to go playoff game. That's what it's all about, just getting to the playoffs, success in the playoffs. You know, I know it's the best to win a championship, but, man, memories of going to playoff games in those sports in the spring, it brings out the best memories of my life, man. It was just great. And the Spectrum building was electric. You look up the loudest goal, when J.J. Daniels scored against the Oilers in 1987 in May, I'm surprised that roof didn't blow off again. You look up the loudest the building's ever been, and
That memory will come up on Google.
I remember hearing about that, Aaron. And yeah, the Spectrum. See, for me personally, I have more reverence for the Spectrum than the Vet. And again, the poll, we'll go over the poll thread before the show's over. I don't know if that's going to be the norm for everybody, but it's absolutely the case for me. I know the voting was close earlier. It's just one of those things that, I guess it's just about your experiences in those particular buildings. And that's the thing about nostalgia. It's different for everybody. Everybody has their own thing that they connect to when they wax poetically about the past. Gene in North Carolina, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Tyrone, how you doing?
What's up, Gene?
Hey, I love your show.
Thank you.
Carson Wentz, let me paint you a picture here. You ever see the movie The Replacements with Keanu Reeves and Gene Hackman?
Yeah.
And Gene Hackman says the winner always wants the ball. Well, yeah. When Carson Wentz was playing Seattle in the playoffs, and he got his bell rung, and he never came back into the game.
You mean he went into concussion protocol, and they take your helmet, and you're not allowed to go back in the game? Yes.
Well, you know.
There's no well about that, Gene.
Okay.
This isn't 1976. If you get a concussion, they take your helmet. You can't go back in the game.
Go back. Okay, go to last year's Super Bowl, where Patrick McComb got his bell rung. They had to help him off the field.
They tested him for a concussion, and they said he didn't have a concussion, so they didn't take his helmet. Well, had they taken his helmet, he wouldn't have been able to play without a helmet.
Okay, I know that, but what I'm saying is that he's doing what he wants.
After the fact that Carson Wentz wasn't really injured, and if he wanted to come back in with the concussion, he could have came back in. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Do you feel better about saying something like that? Have a good week. All right. Harry, South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, that guy's probably nostalgic for the old days when guys played defense and offense and played with concussions the whole game, right?
Yeah. Modern era, we know more about the brain. We've seen people literally pass away. We don't want guys to go out there.
But they got protocols now.
Right. They have a protocol. He had a concussion, so he couldn't play.
It's not up to the player like it was back then. You know, it's like, can you play? Yeah. Okay, go out there. Smell this. I did that. But listen, I'm not worried about Ben. I think he's going to be fine in the playoffs. I think the Sixers are in a rut right now. And we know Ben with Joel getting back in shape. And Ben looks a little lost. But I'm not worried. I think when the playoffs start, he's gonna step it up and he's gonna be the guy. I really think that. This is his year.
I wouldn't worry.
I'm not panicking.
Oh no, I wouldn't worry. I'm worried.
I heard some people panicking.
Yes, there were people panicking. I'm not panicked. I'm worried.
They got a lot of guys on that team, and who's the new guy they just got? Who did you pick up?
The Sixers?
Yeah.
They picked up Anthony Tolliver today to a 10-day contract, but George Hill's on the way. He'll help them.
I know he's on the injured list, right? But he'll be back for the playoffs, right?
He'll be back before the playoffs, yeah. He'll be back, before I think, playoffs, before this month's over. I think the last 10 games he'll play, and then they'll enter the playoffs, hopefully with some cohesion and health.
Yeah, when he gets in the mix and Ben's playing with him, I think it's going to be pretty awesome going in the playoffs. The only thing I would hope for is they don't get rid of I won't say that. I think the Sixers are going to be fine. They're going to be fine. You just got to worry about Kevin playing the whole series. If Durant's not playing all the series.
Oh, well, the Sixers win, but you can't bank on that. You got to bank that Kevin Durant's going to be around. You have to bank that he's going to be around and that Harden's going to be around. Now, he'll be reevaluated. The hamstring thing, Harden allowed himself to be out of shape in order to get out of Houston. And he's played a lot since then, and it looks like it might be coming home to roost of intentionally being out of shape. That's when the soft tissue injuries happen. They're going to reevaluate, I think, next Friday. 6 days from now, they're going to reevaluate. He's not going to play against the Sixers on Wednesday, and then they'll find out about the hamstring. They've only played 7 games together. So for all the issues with the Sixers and injuries in different situations, they will have more cohesion for sure than the Nets will have, because the Nets won't have enough games left to build their cohesion. The question is, will their talent be better than the Sixers' cohesion? 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Dante's first on the other side, Joe, and then you can join him. 610-632-0975. Tyrone Johnson here with you until 12 noon. Word of the week is nostalgia here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.